The drive is live. I'm just playing, Hannah. Yeah, we have a lot of fun with each other.
Did I hear that right? They're going to drop the jerseys at 10 a.m.?
10 a.m.
On all socials.
On all socials.
I mean, I'll be damned. I mean, I'm glad that Lock Dog and Lopez are going to get the live reaction. Don't we have a party tomorrow night?
Yeah, and they're going to do it there, too.
They're going to drop it early
so everybody can see.
There was a party before. There's a party after. So, yeah.
Let's do it.
It's a party for the release.
Oh, okay.
Stop thinking too much,
I'm
going to
party
man.
With y'all at 10 and get some live reactions. What I'm going to do.
Yeah, that's right, baby. Jersey, big day tomorrow. We'll talk about that. Big day tomorrow.
What the hell is going on around here?
People discuss. Now, there is a real question of that. What the hell is going on around here? And for me, it's not the jersey. Clint, I'm going to need your help here. Right? Me and Tyler's sports careers ended early. Tyler's clearly a lot earlier than mine. By the way, Tyler, they were really questioning your golf game earlier today.
Yeah.
I'd have taken it personal. I mean, very dismissive from Lance.
It's hard to take it personal when you know you're good.
But, listen, you
are just uninformed.
You went ahead and played in games that really mattered. Although I felt like that game mattered against Hazelwood Central.
It mattered.
It mattered big time. But you played on the big stage. Clint, I'm gonna need somebody, Tyler, somebody to explain to me what kind of neck injury that Christian Javier has that puts him on the IL to, at the very least, luckily with all the off days the Astros have, at the very least miss two starts. I mean, I don't know. I do not like to go out and do the deal of, oh, dude, ain't that hurt? Because I've never experienced it. I leave that up to you and Seth. You guys have been out there and experienced more what it feels like to be injured or hurt or have some pain or have some discomfort. Like when you call some guys being a little diva, I feel like, all right, that comes from a place of knowing, you know, when you can go and when you can't. You've told me many times about injuries you've had, how you couldn't feel your shoulder and you played a game in it.
Shoot it up, baby.
Somebody got to tell me what kind of neck injury this is. Like Tyler said it earlier in prep. I fully need to see Christian Javier in a neck brace. Somebody has got to tell me, Clint, what it is that, all right, I see you miss a start. Hey, man, I woke up today. I don't know what the hell happened. I can't turn my neck. I can't turn my side. I got it one start. They already know that they putting him on an IL? It's 7-16. They already know? What kind of neck soreness injury is this that they going to make him miss two starts?
Chief, this has to be something that happened in his last outing, and they've been monitoring it. And when it came time to pay the piper, he couldn't do it. And now they got to put
it. Is this a vertebrae?
It's got to be. It's got to be. Yeah. By the way, it can't be a crick in the neck.
He didn't wake up.
I'm sure they're standing a five-star.
No. Well, let's listen to what Joe said.
I've had some serious ones, man.
I was good. You ain't had none that serious.
You ain't had one. You can't walk out there and get on that bump and make you about a million.
Well, at least not one where at least they take a day to look at you. They took a day to look at Framber before they told us everything we knew was going to happen. I'm going out. Here's Joe Espada. Joe Espada, the manager. Here's his explanation. As you could clearly see, Joe was caught the hell off guard by this scratch that he had to make. This is him talking about Christian Javier having to go on the IL.
So we'll see. This kind of just came out of nowhere, so we're going to see what happened here. But we are seeing how he progressed, but we're going to put him on the IL since he's got to obviously work through this, and we're going to need a starter in Chicago. So we're going to get Spencer Arrighetti to come up and take his spot. No, we don't know. Could have been on the plane, could have been slept badly. We just don't know. So the most important thing is trying to get Javier feeling better.
On the plane?
Yeah, man, them cricks in your neck, they can get serious. We've all been there.
Slept poorly. Clint, I'm telling you, I am not trying to say that cat ain't hurt. And that he can't pitch through this. That does not sound like it came out of nowhere, maybe on the plane or he slept wrong. That doesn't sound like we evaluated him today and immediately jumped. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, You can see the little step I did. I'll do it again for you. And immediately jumped right to, and man, we got to sit him down for 15 days. This has to be worse. This doesn't even make, I could not believe when I heard they put him on the IL.
Well, it sounds like I was dead wrong. Joe Espada clearly said it came out of nowhere. It makes you, I would be shocked if.
This is Petzer.
If a crick in the neck turned into a 15-day stint on IL or forced a guy to miss any start in a rotation. After hearing that, it sure seems like something happened that they don't want to disclose at this point in time. For the manager to be completely caught off guard, out of nowhere.
Didn't it sound like he just found out absolutely. He was getting scratched that day?
It sure sounded like it. He's either bad at faking it, or it sure sounded like he just found out today. But that is, wow. Add that to the list of what WTF moments in Houston.
You're right. I guess it could be really that bad to just say, man, let's go ahead and put him on.
Well, this wouldn't surprise me at all if it were something that they were, again, happened last outing.
That would make more sense.
Happened when he threw his bullpen and they were monitoring it and boom. I would think the manager would be fully aware of those situations if something had popped up. So, sounds like something happened last night, boys. What was it, Sunday night? Well, Sunday night in, where are they headed?
Chicago.
Sunday night, Chicago is one of them cities on a Sunday night you can find something.
I'm not going to lie to you, Tyler. I would feel much better if he showed up in the dugout with a neck brace or at least a roll. A neck.
Would too.
A neck, like one of them rolls that people fake in wrecks. Because this right
here. They show up to small claims court and they just got the big old donut on.
I am blown away how they got to this decision so quickly.
Good doctors, man. Great doctors.
Yeah, man. I just can't go, and I don't think I can go in this one. But guys, fellas, I don't think I can go for another two starts. What?
You gotta work that neck out.
Clint, the Astros are not in the situation where, hey, man, let's not even push it. Let's not even push anything. Let's take your time. They are 7-16. There are 9 games under 500. There's got to be more. I think they owe it because either they're doing a disservice to him. Because if this is a crick in the neck, or this is a boy slept on it wrong, you talk about diva.
Nah, he ain't making that decision, is he?
Whoever it is, if you just, hey man, I can get it for a day, but I cannot turn and see for a day. I'm going to need to miss
if you wake up in the morning and you got a horrible crick in your neck, a Major League Baseball team would have multiple professionals working on that thing immediately, and you would be able to turn left or right before game time. You would be able to get loose. It would all work itself out. In all the
That sounds like different, a good, strong massage right there, man.
All the different teams and that I ever played in, college all the way up, where the organizations had money. I've never seen a player. Now, I've seen plenty wake up with a crick in their neck. Just stiff neck. I've never seen a player.
Take them out of the game?
Guys, can't play this week.
I can't go.
Got slept wrong last night. Can't play today. And I'm talking about playing a contact sport. I'm talking about pitching.
Even if you got to turn the whole way like this. You got to turn your whole body.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the damnedest thing.
Tyler, you ever had a crick in it and played 18 holes?
No. No, I have not.
Tyler's got the luxury. He ain't doing nothing when he got a crick in his neck.
He's going to lay it down.
Beyond trying to find a massage therapist, he ain't doing nothing.
I got a massage over the weekend, actually.
Yeah, this is
lovely.
Did you still haven't done that yet?
You get a crick in your neck. I got a guy.
That is just wild to me. Please, that is
Midtown just, Reflexology. They should have sent him Javier down there.
Anywhere.
I think his name's Paul.
I think there's somebody. There's
Asian
some
guy named Paul.
Named Cindy that could probably get him loose. A hard stretch.
Well, this guy I know from experience. He is phenomenal.
I'm blown away by that. That one. I mean, and Joe. Could happen on the plane.
Could happen in a hotel. Could happen in a plane.
Could happen in a threesome. I don't know. Now you
may be on to something.
You know what the most common sex injury is?
What?
Fractured penis.
Well, if he didn't fracture his penis that we know of.
I bet you there's been more hamstrings pulled than fractured.
Oh, absolutely.
That might be just amongst like the serious sex injuries.
I think you just wanted to say the P word.
Yeah, I think.
No, I'm dead serious on that.
I've never heard of that. Is that true that it's the most? I'm with you. Like hamstring, because I mean, you know, I have fought through a cramp and just kept going and hoping it was a cramp. Than to realize afterward it was.
I would think there's probably been a couple
hip
popped bags.
Yeah.
I would imagine there's probably hip, hamstrings,
back,
groins.
Groin, yeah, back injury.
I mean, unless you, I don't know, man. I don't have experience but with one of those things Tyler's mentioned, so I don't know.
Someone said, guys, it could be a pinched nerve. You just can't. I just need more answers than that. I'm sorry. I do not like to. Hey man, that dude ain't really hurt. I don't like to do because I don't know what kind of pain it is. But to already say yeah, he's not starting today.
I'm just
and
curious,
we're putting him on the IL for it.
Do pinched nerves just come out of nowhere? I don't recall. Like I'm seriously asking. I don't know. Like is a pinched nerve just like 1 degree beyond? A crick in the neck? I mean, do you sleep wrong and get a pinched nerve?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the answer.
I would think something would have to happen, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you're a fine-tuned athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, he's in the best shape of his life.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. And he was coming in, right? Pitching well, and now Spencer Arrighetti's back up. So, Christian Javier, 15-day IL with a neck discomfort.
Spence. Big Spence. Get it, baby.
And everybody, they ought to have their asses some good ass pillows. Everybody in every single one every one of them rooms need to be checked on how they're sleeping. My pillow, whatever it is.
That's a great point. If I were a spa and I lose a guy,
because right now if we say on a count of three, who's the person you think comes up with that damn scratch because they got to go on the aisle because of neck discomfort? 1, 2, 3, Yordan.
Oh. Yordan's going to figure out he can get a 2-week vacation.
I like how me and Clint were just watching. We're like, I don't know.
I thought you were talking about it in the studio. I didn't know.
Team. That's what I said. They need to get good pillows. They need to find out what bed he slept on, where he slept on the plane, how he did.
I need some smart numbers up in here.
I'm telling you, man. I'll tell you, Ryan. Or no, I ain't going to say that. I was about to say, I can see most fans saying, give Abreu that bed.
Yeah.
Let Jose Abreu hold that bed. See, maybe that might bounce him out. Maybe he needs to get a crick in his neck.
Switch rooms. Whatever room Javier was in, put Abreu in that joint tonight.
You see your boy Dana Brown came out there?
Uh-uh. What did he say?
Talking about Jose Abreu?
Oh, he's on the defense now, too?
Oh, no. No, they kind of quit playing around a little bit. My man said, listen. There's no way to sugarcoat this. He's scuffling right now. And I think he knows it. It's been wearing on him. I'm sure it's been wearing on our hitting coaches. The frustration mounts. But ultimately, hopefully, he can turn things around. I think we're going to have to give him some time off. Maybe platoon a little bit just to see if one of the other guys can get hot and give him some time off. Maybe he can catch fire in a few days off. It's tough to watch when you see him go through these struggles because you know he's such a gamer.
You could have just said it's tough to watch.
And he's a competitor. You would say just stop it. It's tough to watch.
Yeah, just put a period right after that. It's been tough to watch, period.
And you look at what he did towards the end of last year. All of that was exciting to start off the way he's starting off right now. It's frustrating for him. I guarantee you he's frustrated. But he's got to climb out of it or else we're going to have to mix and match because it's tough to keep going down that direction.
Better get to mixing and matching there, Dana.
I feel like you've already done that.
Well, it's about damn time somebody acknowledged the elephant
room.
Good
Lord.
I mean, I actually appreciate it.
You have to acknowledge
it. I absolutely appreciate what Dana did.
Well, he said, yeah, man, we ain't going to just keep going. I think that was probably needed.
It's somebody. It was needed for somebody to step up and say something. I mean, I applaud Dana Brown for being the one. Hell, Joe Espada should have been the one to say it, but if it's got to be Dana, then so be it. That was well said.
Yeah,
he's got to climb out of it or else we're gonna have to mix and match. I agree. We're at an or else situation with the Astros. They got to climb out of it, start playing better, or they need that long 2-week reset, starting with Abreu immediately.
Listen,
he don't need to be at first base for two games in this next series.
I've thrown it in the towel. He feels the way he is right now. I know how much he's getting paid. He feels like it at the very least maybe a 4 to 5 a month fella right now the way he is playing. I don't want to see him
for 2 weeks.
And I understand who's out there. Yeah, you want to see him for 2 weeks. And listen,
take your vacay, Jose. I will see your family, man.
I will say this though. They're off to an awful start, right? And the it's early crowd is dwindling by the day as they are now 9 games under .500. Clint, you weren't here, but Chris Santiago and Clint – or Tyler, you weren't here, but Chris Santiago and Clint said they got to go 6-2 on this road trip, so they got to win the rest of these puppies.
Got to win out.
And we all thought, well, who they got pitching? They should not lose this series to the Nationals, but – I just say this. It feels like, Clint, that Jose Abreu is going to be the number one scapegoat. Like, when you think about this bad stretch, I feel like a lot of fans go to him first, point to him first. And I think it may be for a few reasons. One, like, he hadn't been here as long as these other guys have been, and he's had some struggles as well into last year and this year. But it is kind of messed up because, yes, he has been a problem. But there are much, much bigger problems than Jose Abreu. I mean, they're like you didn't come into this thing really saying like, hey man, we gotta have Jose Abreu or else we're done. But it looks like people are going to push him before they get to guys like Presley and guys like Hunter Brown. And guys like yesterday, they go 1-for-16, the top four at the lineup and no walks and don't get on base at all. Like, there are so many issues with this group, but it does feel like he is the number one scapegoat, yeah. The number one hated thing. I get it. I would just say there are other reasons, much more important reasons, why the Astros sit here where they are.
Well, yeah, look, I think the reason I start with Jose Abreu is simple, because I don't think there's no return. I think there's hope that the other guys could at least, that are in the conversation, could at least turn things around. But I'm going to be honest with you, Jose Abreu is on my 2-week reset list, and my boy Ryan Presley is right behind him. Look, those two cats right there, I don't care that you write them off. I don't know how many answers there are for Jose Abreu at this point in time, whether you're talking about your backup or you acquiring somebody or you pulling up somebody.
Think Presley's in the same? Because it looks like Father Time grabbed Jose Abreu by the nuts and pulled him in.
Yeah,
you think Presley's in there?
Yes. No, I don't think Father Time grabbed Presley. I think Presley is in a mental spot right now where I just don't think there is, regardless of why he's where he is. I think he's struggling there, and continuing to put him out there, I just don't think is the way out at this point in time. I think he needs a 2-week vacay. I think you got the dudes to be able to do it. I think Jose Abreu needs a 2-week vacay, and I think you just do the best you can with the dudes that you have, whether that's a combination of Singleton and Dubon and whoever else can play first base. I don't know if Caratini can play first base potentially. But you figure that thing out as you go. But right now, those two guys aren't helping you dig out of this hole. And right now, if those two guys keep on down the path that they're going right now, they're not going to be able to help you if you do right the ship down the stretch.
Yeah. All right, big series coming up for the Astros against the Cubs. We've got the starters. We'll give you those on the other side. And the OG, he came back from vacation firing. Byron, wait till you hear what he said about the Astros, and we got to have a discussion if he's right or wrong. We'll discuss that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, we know the Astros are going to be without Christian Javier, who has some sort of a neck ailment that placed him on the fit. What? That's what it is, I think. That's the best way to put it. I don't know.
It's just mind-blowing.
I mean, you want me? I mean, I guess I can say what Joe said. Dana Espada came out and said, we're looking at maybe something that happened on the plane. Maybe something that happened.
Maybe.
Did you say Dana Espada?
Yeah. That's what they are to me. I think they combined to be the manager.
Hold on, so.
Now, Dana Brown's the general manager.
But right.
He's also half manager.
He speaks for him. That's
he's the manna. And then Espada's
the manna.
The juror.
Isn't that the bread more, the Lord sent down?
He gets a few more letters in the word. He's the manna. But the probable starters for this series is they get a much needed day off. They are that is going to help them with that. Is they have multiple days off coming up. They get off Friday as well. But J.P. France is going to be moved up and pitch tomorrow against the Cubs. And then that is when Spencer Arrighetti will get his start Wednesday, and then Verlander will pitch Thursday in Chicago. So that's the next three starters here coming up for the Astros as Christian Javier goes to the IL. All right, Clint, I listened in the loop, and Lopez, he's been on vacation. Costa Rica, I think he said.
Had him a good one, didn't he?
Looks like he kicked it, man. That's what I'm talking about, man. Whew. That sounds like a good time right there, boy. Costa Rica. Never been, but sounds like a good time.
I love
time.
Pitching a tent. I'm serious. It's fun.
I know you do. He came back firing. This was John Lopez as the Astros now are 7-16, struggling here, losing 2 or 3 to the Nationals. This is John Lopez earlier in the loop. This is his declaration of the Astros today.
We're 14% through the season right now.
They're done.
What?
No, the Astros are done.
Come on, man. It's early, man.
It's early. You're crazy. The lead in the division is 500 right now. It's not a good division. The Rangers are 500.
I believe they're 12-11.
Okay, they're one game above 500.
Yeah. No, the Astros are done.
Can we at least get the Memorial Day?
Astros are done. Let me explain it. Here's the thing that I alluded to it like week before last, and I think it's stronger now than ever. Jose Altuve, Jeremy Peña, Kyle Tucker, and Yordan Alvarez are having fantastic starts. Altuve, better than last year. Peña, definitely better than last year. Tucker and Alvarez were tearing the cover off the ball last year.
So they're done.
And they're having the exact same start. So four of your best players are actually playing really, really well.
You're getting pitchers back, though, now. Which okay. is done. We're 14% through the season, sir.
Well, if your standard is contending for a wild card at the end of the season.
No. That's not happening. They have to win the division because the wild card is going to come from somewhere else.
Then they're done.
There ain't no wild card. It's win the division.
Then they're done.
And he said it like 7-8 times.
At least.
Where are you? 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch. Have you come to that place? Have you come to the place of where the OG John Lopez is, where you think the Astros are done? Have you reached that point yet?
No, I have not reached that point yet. However, if you put me in a spot where I had to pick one way or the other, they come back and they win the division and they make a run, or are they done, I would bet that they are done. I would put my hard-earned money right now on them being done well before I'd put my money on them making a run and getting back to the top of the division and
whether
handling
you,
business.
Whether you agree with them or not, I don't think it's crazy. Like I think that's the kind of the point you just made there. I don't think it's crazy to get there. I can't get there just yet.
Yeah.
All right, I told you the one bullet left for me, like someone said, they ain't winning the division. I wouldn't say they ain't doing nothing yet. The one bullet left seemed to really help. Now, the next 2 days kind of struggled, and maybe you can put some blame towards, hey, your starting pitcher came out of nowhere with a neck injury that kind of pushed everything back. But Verlander, to me, was the last bullet. And he's already spoke to the team. It seemed like the team was kind of rallied. Then they do lose two after he plays. But then he comes in and he gives you everything that you needed the first night. So I told you I wanted to wait to see where they were a couple of weeks when they get Verlander back. But I don't think it's crazy. Like people texting in, I think Lopez still has too much alcohol in his system. I don't think it's an insane thing. mean, they're doing, as we said last week, Clint, they continue to do things that bad baseball teams do, right? And it's a nice sample size. They had a catcher's interference in the eighth inning that helped kick off that inning that Ryan Pressly blew. That's what bad teams do. Errors late, just messing up stuff. So I don't think it's crazy. I can't get there completely yet. But I don't think he's nuts by it.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's nuts. I think it is when we start talking about nuts, like the it's early, everybody relax, everything's gonna be that is closer to nuts than this group has done. You mentioned the Justin Verlander deal, and we talked at length about it last week, about Verlander coming back and Verlander being the alpha and Verlander, and I'll be damned if we weren't spot on. Clearly, Dubon said Verlander came out and said, hey, get your head out of your ass. It's time to rock and roll.
He came to the club with a speech.
That's it. But the fact that he has to do that or he had to do that tells me all I need to know. There is a serious void of leadership at the top of this organization. And I'm talking about the team. I'm not talking about Crane. I'm talking about the team. The fact that Dana Brown has to speak on the Abreu situation, there is a lack of leadership in this organization. I don't know that there's enough alphas in the room to change the course this year. I don't know if there is. There's no doubt about it. You know, you lose Dusty last year. You lose Correa the year before. Like, and people minimized it, and people almost laughed at the thought of, the notion that Correa's leadership is going to be missed is silly. No, it's dead ass on.
Maldonado leaves last year.
Good point. Great point last year. And the Dusty effect, love or hate Dusty, I don't care what you think about Dusty as a manager, it's undisputable that he is a player's manager and is great in these moments when the waters are rough of keeping everybody steady and keeping everybody smooth and giving guys the best chance to go out there and perform. And you're missing that. So My hard-earned money, I would bet that Lopez is right well before I would bet that they right the ship.
Yeah, a couple of texts coming in. Astros are done. Ernesto in Pearland. Lopez needs to calm down. Astros are still a great team. The pitchers are coming back. The hitters are going to get to where they need to be. Astros will be back. It's early. Stop it, Sterner.
They spell it right?
Yeah, I did.
All right, hello. Come on. Appreciate you.
Ron, Astros are done. They will not make the playoffs. It will take 90 wins. RIP Dynasty. Stop quitting. They're not done. Can we wait till they get Framber back? Listen, honest to God, I know some may look at this as a cop-out, but I can completely understand why everyone feels the way they feel. If you've been here in Houston and watching this run, I can understand why you are still holding out, why you're still waiting. Or I can understand where maybe if you're in the Lopez camp where you're like, hey, man. It's the one big thing is, and I think it's the point that you just kind of brought up there, is they're just – it's just different. They're operating different. And now you're starting to lose a lot of the voices that kind of slow thing down and stop things.
Your horses on a day-to-day basis are not alphas in this organization.
Yes. And so you've lost that, and it looks like they are changing the way they do things too, right? Like they're changing, like going to go get Josh Hader, maybe a little something that's maybe against how they would do things in the past, and going to go get, you know, Abreu, older players that could be – they're kind of doing things kind of against what got them to – this golden era anyway. So it's not nuts, but we're about a week or two away from people having to start to get serious if you're not there. All right, we got to get in tomorrow's big, big day. We'll set the scene for you, and I can't wait to see how the fan base reacts to this. We'll discuss that Coming up next right here on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hang in there. Big day tomorrow. Big day tomorrow right here at Sports Radio 610. And a big day for the sports fans in this city as well. As tomorrow, was it 10 o'clock? The McNairs will be here. They will unveil a lot of the uniform stuff, or the not just a lot of it. They will unveil the uniform stuff. You can listen to it right here, hear them live on In the Loop, 10 o'clock, as that will come out. We've seen some leaked peeks of some things.
I like that.
But the entirety of all of the jerseys and helmets will be released tomorrow, 10 o'clock. And the thought is, as we're less than 24 hours before that, fellas, how y'all think the fan base going to react to these jerseys? What do you think the majority of people, you think the majority of people are going to like them? Obviously it's never going to be an exact science. It's never going to be mostly everybody loves it. It's not going to be like when D'Amico got hired, right? There is going to be some people who have some issues. What do you think the majority of people are going to feel?
I think the majority of people are going to like them. But I think the loudest individuals, the ones that are going to be heard the most, are going to be the ones that don't like them. I think there is going to be
the loud complaining group of it.
Yeah, I've not seen anything other than leaked photos. For the record, I've not seen anything. I didn't go to whatever Landry was talking about, the party before. I didn't go to that, so I don't know what anything looks like. But I think there's going to be a portion of the fan base that's highly disappointed in how much of the color blue that the Titans stole.
Like the way you placed it.
I think there's going to be the people that really wanted to, like Sean Bajani, that really wanted to shoot double rods at the Adams family and at the Titans by what the jersey looked like. I think that
crew is expecting
that
something.
Group's going to be disappointed, I think.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you what. I
love what I've seen so far. The H I could care less about. I'm not that didn't do anything for me, I'll be honest. That didn't do, like, I need to see that with the uniform to see if I like the whole, that H needs help. I'll put it to you that way.
That standing alone.
That needs to be paired. Like, you pair that with something that's too busy or doesn't jive just right, I'm out on it. But it's got a chance. So I'm in on that. But them everyday unis, them home and aways, hey man, y'all, look here, them jokers are clean. There's just a little bit. No, there's a lot of change. On those, the Houston across the chest, that's money. That is strong. The color combos and the way in which they didn't feel the need to force three or four different colors. When you throw white in there, three or four different colors into one uni, just make it classic, smooth, nice, easy on the eye, man. I like it. I thought they did a hell of a job.
Text line coming in. I'm just really intrigued to see how people are going to receive these jerseys. What the overwhelming majority will say. Someone texts in, everyone's going to love the red one. The white and the blues are going to be okay. The H-Town blue will be fine. We'll see. We'll see what they have in store. I'm gonna say this:
if they do, if they drop a full H-Town blue,
that will not be just fine.
That will be off the charts. If it's the same color, the blue that the lighter blue that's in the H that they released, if there's a uni that's that color,
yeah, they roll in here
like has a dominant color. That color is dominant in the jersey,
like the Houston Cougars.
Yes. I think you'll have people going. I think you'll have a amount of people that are cool with it, and then you have a loud group that will absolutely love it. But I just don't know that we're going to see that.
Honestly, I think the overwhelming majority are going to like it.
Overwhelming majority?
Yeah. Because D'Amico and CJ do. I do. I think people are in such cloud nine with the Texans, as they should be, and in particular with those two guys. And those two guys, they have run out there and have talked about how much they love the new jerseys. They've come out. I'd be like, you know what? DeMeco likes it. CJ likes it. Hell, I like it.
Yeah.
Let's go. I think that's the – like, I think a major part is how you feel about the team.
Sure.
At the moment.
Absolutely.
Now, honestly, like, if this was 2 years ago, I think the majority of people would have hated it.
Oh, yeah.
That's something to complain about.
Well, look, Larry and Stafford called in the other day. And he said, look, I don't give a damn about them jerseys. My squad's going to go out there and win, and my squad's going to do this, and his squad's – DeMeco's going to do this, and CJ's going to be the quarterback. I don't care what the uniforms look like. So, yeah, you're going to have that part.
Because they're not going to be butt-ass ugly.
Well, I mean –
I don't think they can do that.
My alma mater has done that, has somehow done that a time or two.
They just did a gray.
Awful. They did faded numbers and all kinds of
crap. But we know they're not doing it. We've already – like, if we start, first off, we've seen an element of the white ones.
You've seen the home
right,
away.
And you can look at the white one, and I would imagine the blue ones aren't going to be just something completely opposite of that. I would imagine the blue ones are going to look just like that, just blue.
Yeah.
The red ones probably, and maybe they have one that is a completely different look. After we saw the white one, they're not going to be butt-ass ugly. And I think you see the white, you know, and DeMeco, they're like, you know what, CJ likes it.
Alternate unis, right, man. You never know what's coming, though, bro. I mean, The H?
Yeah.
What's that fourth helmet going to look like? I'm going to tell you, boys. I'm pretty excited about that one. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm pretty excited about that. That's the one thing in this whole drop tomorrow that could disappoint me, if I'm being honest.
Mm.
Do you remember the only two teams in college that I've seen do it, and I absolutely loved it, and I wanted my Razorbacks to do it, but they wouldn't? Boise State and Mississippi State. They did, one's the Bulldog, one's the Broncos. So it was a horse's head, right?
Oh, real enlarged one?
Enlarge it on the side of one. The other side, there's nothing on one side. And then the other side is the logo just wraps damn near around the helmet. I thought that was badass. And then so did Mississippi State did it with the Bulldog head, right? With just the head. Man, that's clean. White helmet. Boom, one color logo, and that logo is blown up. Anytime that thing pops on the screen, you know exactly who's playing. The logo jumps in your face. Man, that's a smooth look. Man, that's a smooth look. That would be clean. Something different other than just, and I love the Texans logo. I'm not part of that group. I love the Texans logo. Absolutely love the original, the OG. But something different other than that on the side of the helmet would be tremendous for me. I can get that. That would be a true alternate unit.
Something that's different. Something,
yep.
Yeah. We'll see. I think most will love it. Tyler is also going to be one that loves it. I don't think there's going to be anything that they create that Tyler hates.
That's not fair.
I don't. I'm just saying based off what we've seen. I don't think there's anything. You loved the H.
I didn't understand people didn't like it. Yeah.
Tyler, Clint, he didn't understand why people didn't like it or were on the fence.
Well, I need help.
That's fine for you.
It's got a lot going on. It's a busy H, man.
Tyler's taking it a step further. He really likes the H. Tyler, are you seriously going to do this? Are you really going to get this thing tattooed on you? So are they?
Look at that grin on his face. Hell yeah!
Hell yeah!
Y'all, we got that HD camera.
Are they giving any fans the ability to get like? For real tattoos?
From what I understand, at the event tomorrow night for the new uniforms, there's going to be a limited capacity of fans that might be able to get tattoos without an appointment or without them already having that scheduled.
But the
Texans, they were offering, if you won these raffled tickets for the event tomorrow night at 713 Music Hall, if you won those raffled tickets, they're giving fans the option, get a little ink, a little free ink on the McNairs.
I think you should put it on your left arm, man. Don't put it on your right sleeve.
No, crowd it up in the sleeve.
No, man. You don't even know if this thing's going to last.
Yeah, it will. Yeah, it will.
But it fits in with that arm.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
What else is he going to do? The other one's going to be the same thing. You're going to have Orbit on that other side. You know how much his wife loves Orbit? Orbit's coming. Orbit's definitely coming.
He's drawing the loud tackle. I won't let him get away.
Andre Johnson catching the ball in the back of the end zone's coming. on that left.
Maybe add a smaller version. But right there, he's got some space.
I'm thinking
JJ Watt flexing or something.
Thinking maybe on the inner part of the sleeved arm I got going on.
Now is this just somebody random? Are you all right? Like I when I've gotten my tattoos, I've really vetted people.
I absolutely.
So you're comfortable. I ain't just like my haircut.
It's kind of interesting. It was I got the release form. The Texans sent me the release form the end of last week for this tattoo tomorrow. And the release form right there at the top, the company name, it's where I go to get my ink typically. Feel pretty good about it.
So it's meant to be.
I can't wait to see this.
What are your options?
So they gave fans four options. You can get the bullhead, the classic logo. You can get that in black and
white.
You
already have that, don't you?
Yeah, I have that worked into the sleeve. You can get that in black and white, or you can get it in color. That's option two. Or this new secondary logo, which is the H, now we know. You can get that in black and white or get that one done in color. I'm not sure on the size yet of these options.
They better be big. They gotta make it big.
They can't be too big if they're going to do a lot, though.
As a joke, I think you should just yank your shirt off and say, I want it from my neck to my waist. I want a big H. See how much ink they'll use.
Just my whole torso.
Do it on your back. It'd look odd on your nipples. You got little nipples. But
everybody else go on. I want the
front. I want it on the front.
Sorry, guys, but I want this H, and I want it from my shoulder blades down to my top of my butt cheeks, if you don't mind.
That's a six-day right there.
That'd be
a multiple day.
Double-digit hours of work.
See what Omar says about that. Damn,
come in unshaven, too.
But yeah, I just got my confirmation for my appointment, man. I'm pumped.
I can't wait to see this.
I got to get out of here quick tomorrow.
I don't know if that's my journey. I don't know if I could do that.
I overthink everything. There ain't no way in hell. I couldn't be like, oh, you getting way attached? Yeah, let me get one.
Get that bad boy.
It took me forever.
For him, it makes sense. Like his whole his whole arm is actually this, all of the sports teams. Like that one.
Pull that sleeve up and show him that pipe, man.
Yes.
There you go.
There you go.
That's the Astros.
Show me that blank spot on the inside of that bicep where you're going to put that H. Bam. That's perfect. There's not a better.
Or the elbow.
Or you could turn it around and get it on that elbow.
No,
hell no. That'll hurt like hell.
That's fine.
Right there on that bicep, T.
It's tough right there on that back elbow, right there. That big H right there in the back.
I will say the most painful spot I've gotten any ink so far was just this bullhorn on that elbow. That was painful.
Yeah, I tell you, mine was the inner thigh. Coming up, the big three at three. We'll get you caught up on what the Astros are going to do now that they had to put Christian Javier on the IL and how that series came to an end. And a big, big move potentially in the NFL. We'll discuss that coming up next.